Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I am posting now to go live, so if everybody just give me a minute. And Galen, you're looking to the top left, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I'm excited.
And you said we're doing two chapters?
Well, yeah, persistence and mastermind.
Okay.
So we wrapped up both. And we are going live. It's saying fetching video stream, but I'm going to pretend that it's going to all work out. So here we go.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Facebook Live discussion of Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist, and I am just so excited to be back with you as one of your co-hosts today. You know, have you ever had an experience, and you know, this is actually like off show right now. Have you ever had an experience that was just so magical, so powerful that you couldn't allow it to end? That's exactly what happened to us last week, and we had just an amazing conversation. If you have any way of pulling up that recording, please do so, because it was so powerful. We had to bring back our guest, Dr. Mariama Williams, for part two. So today we're going to be discussing both the persistence chapter and the power of the mastermind chapter with our guest, Dr. Mariama Williams. You're going to learn a little bit more about her very shortly. But before we bring her in, I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, my partners in crime, my writing buddies, because every week they bring the heat. They really inspire me, and I hope inspire you to think and grow rich. So I'm going to start with the founder and owner of my favorite company, the favorite name of a company, Sula 2 Publishing, Ms. Ursula Odoms. Ursula, join the conversation and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yes, I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old new in everything that we do. And that means we take all of your hard work, your life lessons learned, and we turn them into books, videos, legacy walls, and live conversations. So that's why I love what we do here, and I know today is going to be live and off the chain because we have all the pieces in place, and I'm just excited about it, especially since we're talking about the mastermind. Good morning.
Well, fantastic. Well, I am excited to have this conversation as well. Plus, not only do I get to hang out with Ursula on a weekly basis, even a couple times a week, Dr. Peter James, you have done so much, not only in this space, but with other executives. Tell the audience a little bit more about yourself so that I don't have to gush over how powerful you are on this subject matter.
Well, Galen, good morning to you. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. Good morning to all of our co-hosts, our staff, distinguished guests, and of course, those of you who are watching and listening on all these different platforms. Shout out to David Emanuel. Thank you so much for being with us, David. Listen, I am the high performance coach. I am an executive and leadership coach who specializes in helping individuals and organizations to shift their mindset. I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about being here and thinking and growing rich also. And I'm excited for today's conversation around persistence and mastermind, Galen. It's going to be phenomenal. Last week was any precursor. This week is going to be fabulous.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's very rare, very seldom that we bring people back. And that was actually not planned. But we just had such a great time, such great content that we had to have part two. And Ms. Ann McNeil, you're kind of the ringleader here. You're the reason that we all get up so early in the morning to have some conversation, for some of us, two or three times a week. Welcome to the show and share kind of your thoughts about the importance of persistence and masterminding, because this has been your life. This has been your life calling. This has been your life mission. And would love to hear more about that.
All right. Ann McNeil, the master wealth builder. How about that?
Love it.
We help entrepreneurs get greater clarity in their highest income-producing areas of their business and their life. And this platform, Masterminding Persistently for over 4 years, is one of the ways that we do that. And so, like everybody else on the show today, well, maybe more than everybody else today, because I am honored to be masterminding on this platform with my mastermind buddy from our Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group. And so we've been together now for over 15 years. Our organization has been together now for over 40. So I'm excited for Mariama and I to share with our audience some of the conversations we just had as we hosted our mid-year annual meeting for our small Palm Beach Life Plan and Mastermind. So, David, I'm excited to persistently mastermind. We'll get into the details for our guests to understand what does that mean, what does it look like, and what does the Napoleon Hill have to say about our principles. So, back to you.
Well, fantastic. Well, you know, Dr. Mariama Williams, I want to bring you into this conversation just by way of introduction. Anyone who did not have the opportunity to be part of our previous show, they really missed a treat. Dr. Mariama is an economist. She's traveled the world. She's taught around the world. She's achieved some of the highest levels of working with some of the people like Deepak Chopra. She has really got a really good sense of how you tap into not only the physical abilities that you might have with you, not only some of the mental abilities that you have as part of your being, but also some of the psychic abilities that we all have, but very often we don't acknowledge, we're not even aware that we have it, but it's always there. So, Dr. Williams, if you could just come to the conversation, share just a little bit more about yourself, and we'll get right back into the conversation. Okay, you're. Let's see if you can. There we go.
Good morning. I can hear me now.
Yes, good morning to everyone.
It's my great pleasure to be back on the show. I am really looking forward. I see the Zoom is popping with questions. And welcome, everyone. I want to thank my co-host for having me back. It's really my pleasure to be talking with you. I know for you it's very early for me. It's 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm speaking to you from Geneva, Switzerland, where it's been quite rainy, so it's nice to be in Georgia, a bit cool. Autumn is definitely here. So, as you said, I've been meditating, and I just graduated from being a Master's of Science in Yoga Therapy at the Maryland University of Integrated Health, which is in Laurel, Maryland. But prior to that, I was a yoga teacher, still I guess I'm a yoga teacher with Deepak Chopra, Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga, as well as a Bikram training teacher. And so I've been teaching yoga now since about 2004, 2008, meditation since 2000. Spent some time at the Chopra Center, doing some internships there, and then I've been practicing on my own, doing private practice all over the world, in different parts of the world, Africa, Asia, not Latin America, but Europe. It's a great pleasure to be here. My focus this time and last time is on breathing. Because I think that's the thing that we can use. Napoleon Hill speaks a lot about alchemy. And we want to talk about emotional alchemy and using the breath to produce that kind of clarity of intention that keeps you going and helping you to be persistent, because you can't be persistent if your mind wanders and if your mind is going into a million miles a minute, what we call the monkey mind. You can't be persistent if you're not healthy. And we have lots of tools and techniques to enable us to be really powerful in all of the aspects of life that are important to manifesting our destiny and developing wealth consciousness and wealth mindset. So yeah, I'd like to really explore some of those topics again and to proceed with the chapter 18 of persistence.
Ooh,
yeah,
man.
And the eight factors in persistence.
Well, great. Well, glad that you could carve out time to come back and join us. We certainly had a great time the last time you were here, and we're eagerly looking forward to this conversation. So welcome back. So now I'd like to bring in Dr. Peter James to give us kind of an overview of all of the principles that fit into this success formula that Napoleon Hill developed. All the way back in 1937, because I think it's important for us to understand that by itself, a discussion on persistence, a discussion on masterminding would be absolutely worth your time. But this fits inside of a system. This fits inside of an entire process, and it's important that we understand where it fits. So, Dr. Peter, would you take us through all those principles?
Yes, sir. So this book, Think and Grow Rich, which is the backdrop of our discussion, of course, both today, but every time that we meet, really, as Anne McNeil always says, it begins to read you the more time that you read it. So today I'm going to just go through the 13 chapters, the 13 principles of this book so that you can get a little bit of a taste of what is in store. The first one, of course, is desire. It's the starting point of all achievement. You must have the desire before you can accomplish anything in life. The second one is faith, which is the visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. So yes, accompanying with desire, you have to have that faith to be able to accomplish it. Number three is auto-suggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. Auto-suggestion is such a unique word, and I highly encourage you to dive into that. It's important that we really impact what is going on in our mind as opposed to the other way around. You have a dream, you have a desire, you need to make sure that your mind is also included in with that. Number four, specialized knowledge, which is the personal experiences or education or observations that you that accompany you on this journey. Number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. It's important to have an imagination as you move forward in your journey. Number six, organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. Yet before you can take action, you have to have some sort of a plan or strategy. This chapter goes into that as well. Number seven, decision. The mastery of procrastination. It is important for you to be decisive in your actions, decisive in your behaviors. And this principle number seven goes into that in a little bit more detail. Number eight, persistence. Sustained effort necessary to induce faith. You've got to be persistent. After the planning, after the decisiveness, after the faith, it's important that you are persistent along your journey because roadblocks, hurdles, and obstacles will come across your path. Number nine, power of the mastermind. Oh, my goodness, I love this, of course. Between persistence and mastermind, we'll dive into those both a little bit today. And having those individuals around you to cheer you on, to also bounce ideas off of, is invaluable. Number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. So, yes, we said the word sex. And, of course, that raises everybody's antenna a little bit. But in this book, it has a different spin to it overall. The subconscious mind is number 11. This is the connecting link. We referred to it already with auto-suggestion, but it's so important that the subconscious mind is really in tune with your actions and your behaviors. And Napoleon Hill made a point to mention it more than once in this book. Number 12, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station for thoughts. Yes, the brain has to be impacted. Yes, the brain must continue to be almost intellectualized level up to a certain extent as you go along in your journey. Number 13, the sixth sense, which is the door to the temple of wisdom. Yes, there is a sixth sense. There is another level, of course, that's number 13, excuse me, the sixth sense is that level that is below the surface. It's underneath, I like to call it below the iceberg. What's going on down deep inside of you, which spurs you on, which is your wisdom overall. Galen, those are the 13 steps, the 13 chapters in this phenomenal book. Today we're going to go through chapter 8 and chapter 9, Persistence and the Power of the Mastermind.
Yes, so thank you for that. I mean, as I said before, you know, any discussion on any of those topics, any of those chapters, or even parts of those chapters would be worthwhile. That's why we invite you to come back every single Saturday, 8 a.m. Eastern, for this discussion, because we do a deep dive. Not only do we want you to be part of this show and watch this show, we also want you to be reading along with us. There's nothing like being in the picture. We want you to be in the picture. Don't just watch the picture. Don't just watch us, although we are an attractive group. Don't just watch us. We want you to be in the picture. So with that, I want to bring in Dr. Mariama because, you know, we had such a great conversation last time. We started talking about how breathing and it is so important, how there's not only a physical or a mental level to our existence, there's also a psychic level to our existence. A couple of things that I'd love for you to discuss. Number one, I want to hear more about this mid-year meeting. I know about the annual meeting, but the mid-year meeting, I'd love to hear more about that. But specifically, I'd love to hear how has persistence played into the kind of work that you do? Because there, last I checked, and I did check, they're not handing out PhD degrees at Walmart. I checked down every aisle, and it wasn't there. So you have persistence, you have persisted in that area, you've persisted in achieving some of the highest levels of yoga and meditation. How has persistence played a role in the way you are experiencing life right now?
Okay, so first I would say I'm normal like everyone else. I do have my moments of procrastination. I have my moments of inertia where I just want to read a novel and just lie down and lie back and go to the beach and hang out. But for the most part, I do try to have a rhythm, a habit, which is one of the things that Nathaniel talked about, right? Because we do things every day, and they become habits, and the habit then becomes the way you think, and then that leads to your action then results in different kinds of fruit, right? And one of my strong suit is that I get up every day, I do my prayers, I meditate. Even if I don't have to have 20 or 30 minutes, even if it's 5 minutes, I sit quietly, I reflect, I close my eyes, or I look down at my nose because I'm actually training my pineal gland and the whole pituitary HPA axis, hypothalamus, pituitary gland axis that medicine is finding so fascinating right now. And I think that's the groundingness of that. It's that getting up every day and doing that, but finding the joy and the difference in doing the same action every day. Because otherwise, people say you get bored. But you don't get bored if you realize that the activity is similar, but you are different every day you get up. Right? We change, our body change, our body chemistry. We get a new skin every 30 days. You get a liver every 6 or 9 months. I mean, your whole biology changes. So the you that went to bed last night is not the you that wake up. You might wake up grumpy today. You might wake up full of fun and laughter. You might wake up not wanting to exercise today. You're very different. You yourself are very different. So you have to prepare yourself that when you go out and you meet the different parts of your different colleagues and friends, you don't react to them as they were yesterday. You have what responsibility means, the ability to respond. So you have that capacity to say, okay, this is the story. This is my story. This is their story. Now, how do the stories meet? So I think that is a fundamental thing. And, of course, as athletes will tell you that the best way to achieve a result is to practice, 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 practice. That's why it's called mindfulness practice. It's called yoga practice. Even medicine is called what? A practice, right? Because they go and they do it every day. So we have to do that practice and that consistency of practice, but we also have to be clear about our goals. And once you have a focus, if your mind is like a bottle that's frozen, nothing will happen. Right? So you have to clean the mind, where you clean your teeth, where you clean your body, you clean that mind. And you clean that mind with meditation, with breathing, and with a whole host of different techniques that are existing for us. And many in traditional cultures, and certain Native American cultures, and many of our African cultures, they have different ways of cleaning the mind and the body.
Wow, fantastic. You know, that's consistent with what I've experienced with a lot of the executives I've talked to. A lot of times people will think, well, I'll just wake up and do the next thing that comes. And what I'm hearing from you is that you've got to be intentional. You've got to be directional. You've got to say, this is where I'm trying to go, and these are the steps that I'm going to take, irregardless of what you feel like, because we're inconsistent, right? Our feelings are inconsistent. Our feelings can change. If the breeze comes from the south as opposed to the direction it normally comes, right, we've got a different feeling. So I really, really like what you're bringing into this conversation. I'd love to hear more about this. What's this mid-year meeting, mid-year check? That's like another, I've never heard that kind of a conversation before. What is that about?
So you know that we meet annually, all of the different mastermind groups that are part of the International Mastermind Association, generally in Florida, what we're doing this year, well, 2021. And we bring together all of our plans and we discuss what we've accomplished. Well, we have a mini version of that, which is the mid-year. So each group on their own. So it's not a joint effort of all the different groups. Each group individually meets. And in our case, we used to meet physically, and we bring all of our books, everything. First time, we had a meeting by Zoom. So we are also, that's the other thing, adaptability, flexibility. We say infinite flexibility. You have to adapt. So we have adapted and by going on Zoom. So we each bring, again, what it is that we have accomplished over the 6 months and where we want to go for the next 6 months. But not only that, Ms. Ann, who's sitting right there, has gotten us to think about what we want to do in the next 6 months, the next 1 year, the next 5 years of our life. So we have to start thinking and structuring that out and thinking about how we're going to accomplish it. And not like plotting like a map. But having a compass, you need to know if you're east, west, north, or south. The details of the map can shift. Like if I'm going from here to New York, I can go many routes, but I know my direct my destination is New York. So that's kind of what we do, and we are even working on what our funeral is going to be, what we want said at our funeral, right?
Yeah, so I like the way that you're being persistent about masterminding, right? It's like those two really do fit together, and I love to check. Ursula, I promised that I'd go to you first, but Anne, I'd love to have you kind of chime in and jump in here and share your thoughts.
Wow. Galen, for very few times, I'm almost speechless. You said one thing to put it out, but to hear it come back to me from our mastermind partners is very humbling. But I think it's very empowering, and I want to start with this. I received a call, and some of us know Missy Campbell. I received a call from Missy Campbell yesterday, and I'm going to go to Mary on the point. She called me three times, and each time she missed me, but when she finally got me, she was almost at the top of her volume. She said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm holding the phone out, and I said, okay, what? She said, my child, my daughter, My daughter is in your mastermind group for the kids, and she is so excited, and everybody notices a change in her, her growth. 9 years old. Her daughter, Mrs. Campbell's daughter, is 9 years old. 9 years old. So what Mariana is talking about is a lifelong journey for us. Personally, I've been on the journey since 1979 when I picked up a copy of this book and got to the chapter that said Mastermind. What was that? Well, McCarthy says that a mastermind group was first formed with that theologian, Jesus Christ, first mastermind, and his disciples were the first mastermind group. So what we do in our mastermind group, Pompey's Life Plan, like Mary Ellen said, we start with that first chapter, which is desire. What is it that we want? But not just money. We go through the spiritual, the family, the financial, the education, the health, the personal, the development, the business and or your career, your recreation, your creativity, and your civic area of your life and your business. And again, we set those goals for the 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and for me, I am in my 40th year right now, and I'm writing what will I do with the next 40. And actually, because I knew we were going to be doing this, I brought a copy of my report, which is this, and it's only about 300 or 400 pages. But when you think about your entire life, and that doesn't happen overnight for those people that may be looking at and she got it crazy. But when you think about, we have a business plan for our business. Come on, somebody. A strategic plan for work. And some of us in a career, we may be on 5 or 10 different jobs in a career. But we're in the strategic plan for your life. That's what this program is about. So like I said, I get a little excited about this conversation because when you have a 9-year old, we have people out here that children are part of our mastermind group. And if you're interested in that, you can put it in the chat, whether you're on Zoom or whether you're on Facebook, and just say, I'm interested, and we'll have someone reach out to you. But Gail, I don't make my salvation, and my boyfriend and my husband is in the kitchen. I cannot think of anything else I am involved in that is more life-changing and impacting the lives of thousands of people. So long story very short, not to make it, where is the strategic plan for all of you listening? Like Mary Alma said, we've all been to somebody's funeral, and you're sitting there listening to an obituary, or you're reading an obituary, and you think to yourself, that's not the person that I knew. Why is that? Because we allow other people to write our last words. So for us as a mastermind group, we write it now, we review it every year, and it becomes an affirmation for living. So as you can see, I'm a little excited. So those are my comments about our calendar related.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not only do we allow, so many of us allow other people to write our last words, we actually allow other people to determine what we do in our lives, right? So much of our lives is just responding to what other people are asking of us. And, you know, this chapter, these two chapters in particular, are really about how do we live life on purpose. You know, Steve Jobs says that life is too short to live someone else's version, right? So how do we live our version of our lives as complicated and complex as emotional as that can be at times? So Ursula, what are your thoughts? What questions do you have for our guests?
Well, before I start asking questions, let me share something with you because you mentioned that people needed to get involved. You've heard about the biannual meeting from Ann and Mariana. Well, guess what? It's your time to get involved. You can get in the picture because there's an annual meeting that anybody under the sound of my voice or looking at my face can be a part of. It happens in January. So get out your paper and pencil or write however you do it. Capture the first weekend of January. plan to be there. Now, if be there means that you're in Boca Raton with us or on Zoom with us, put it on your calendar, because this is where each year all of us get an opportunity to come together and talk about what we've done over the last year and what we plan to do. And it's about our own personal responsibility and being held accountable by others sitting in that meeting. It's the annual accountability meeting that takes place in January. And if we could see the actual information about it, I'll share that with you. Now, what I love about thinking about that weekend is something that Ann always says. If you had to stand before your maker and answer, how much have I done over the last year? Have I been a good steward of the 365 days that the Creator has given us? And based on what I say, it determines whether or not I get another 365 days. Well, it might make you take this thing a little bit seriously, don't you think? So that's what we do. We hold each other accountable for the gifts that we've been given and what we've done with them. And this takes place this coming year, starting on Friday evening, January 8th, and then the big meeting on Saturday, January 9th. And that happens, or we're planning to have that happen at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton. And you can sign up, you can register today, make a decision, take action by going to internationalmasterminders.com. Take action. That's what this is all about. Not only having the plans, not only knowing what Think and Grow Rich is all about, but having the desire to make it a part of your life. And here's your first opportunity. So go with it. So that's how I start. I mean, I had my button pushed by all that wonderful, well, by the conversation that Ann and Mariana were having. But now, as far as my question of Mariana, earlier you mentioned taking action acting versus reacting. No, that's not what you said. You said responding versus reacting. And I have a show with some young people called Wisdom and Young Legends. And one of those young people actually said, and helped me understand the importance of this, and I need to go back and get the exact person's name, but that reacting and responding is like if you take medicine and your body reacts, that's not good. Mm-hmm. But if it responds, it's doing what it's supposed to. So when you are faced with
wisdom,
yes, and from a young person, and that's what I love about having that conversation with these young people, because they're taking the wisdom of the elders, combining it with the energy that they have, and then they're rocking and rolling with the future. So that's the essence of it. So my question to you is, when you're faced with serious situations, how do you make sure that you respond versus react?
And that comes from practice, because you have to be working on yourself and understand who you are, and be in the moment you have the tool ready. In the moment, if you have never done that preparation, you are going to react because you've never prepared. But if you have a practice of meditating, of breathing, of knowing how you're breathing, knowing that when you get stressed, you breathe in this way, checking into your body, saying, aha, why am I reacting that way? Why am I reacting to that person that way? And you can do that in a split second if you practice every day, right? And you will miss some days. You won't get up and you won't do much. You just do a minute or two or five. And then on a weekend, you wake up. You do 15, well, not quite make up, but you do 10, 20 more minutes. But you have to be practicing it over time, so that when that moment comes, and we all get knocked about right? We all get knocked about. And so it's in that moment that, like we tell people that when you meditate, don't look for flashy experience in the meditation. It's how you, how people react to you in your life. When people come to you and say, hey, Mariama, you're much calmer these days. You used to go really crazy when I say this or that. That's what the fruit of the meditation is, not while you're doing it. So you're practicing. It's like you're honing. You're cleaning yourself. A famous Sufi poet once said, it is like this. He said, you have this thing called Saran Wrap, right? And when you're born as a baby and as a child, you have a few wraps around you, and it's easy for you to break out of it. But after years of conditioning, years and years of conditioning, you get wrapped in that Saran Wrap. You can't get out of it unless somebody comes and helps to cut you out of it, right? And so that's what it is. You peel away, because that's, we socialize. We go through all kinds of trauma and drama, and each trauma and drama leaves imprints on the body. So if you're not consistently working on the body, cleaning the body, mind, spirit, then you become very reactive to every stimulus. Right? So reaction is that you're a conditioned stimuli, and everybody can come and push your button. Right? But if you're constantly working and cleaning yourself, then you're able to respond. And that might be just a minute of taking a nice deep breath, and you move forward. Or you have different, we have different tools, we call them mudra, hand movement. Nobody knows you're doing it, you hold your mudra like this. You can put, most of the time we see people do that. When we're in trouble, we do this to push away stuff. Those are all movements and energy that we work with. But you can actually consciously cultivate that by using the different finger points. The different, each of your fingers represents a different element of your life. So, for example, thumb is fire. Your index finger is air. The middle finger is space. The ring finger is earth. The little finger is water. If you put your thumb and your and your index finger together, you're putting fire and air. What does that create? You're putting, so you, we do various things, and you can settle your heart by simply holding a mudra, right? You know, in different circumstances. So there are many different tools that we have access to, the breathing, mudra, mantra, meditation, you know, and we find them in traditional cultures. People have different ways of utilizing some of these things. Yeah. They're more reformed and more sophisticated, developed in yoga, because the yoga tradition has been developed systematically over thousands of years. But in many, any culture you go, whether you go Inca, Native American, you'll find many of these aspects of life. We have gone away from those, but we are now coming back. I think a lot of that stuff is bringing us back. A lot of things that are happening around is bringing us back, some fundamental things in life.
You know, you just reminded me of something, and it makes me wonder about it. My grandmother had a habit that if faced with something that really angered her, first she smiled, and then she said whatever she had to say. So that, I guess that was her moment where she put those fingers together and said, I'm dealing with a fool right now.
She paused, but that smile is a pause.
And I was in a situation like that once, and I smiled, and the person said, why are you smiling? And my grandmother's words came to my mind, I'm laughing to keep from crying. But, you know, it's like, no, I'm just smiling for the moment, and then we'll deal with you.
Yes. Remember, we talked last week about the trauma that's in the body, you know, that manifests and works its way out in different ways. And so for many of us, when we look at what's going on now, the whole global economy, the whole world is on a pause, a reset, okay? So we think that we control, we think that we know, even the biggest economies, all of their weapons, all of their might, they've been brought to their knees by what? A little bug. The whole world is on a pause. Look at all and see what's going on. A pause.
And then finally, when you just said that, when it first started happening for the introverts of us, that first 2 weeks, I actually enjoyed just being still. Mm-hmm. And I said to someone, I said, you know, it would be nice if we could have 2 weeks every year where the whole country just shuts down and everybody can just do what they feel like doing for a moment. I mean, you know, we need that reset. But then it went on a little bit too long, but still.
Yep, and it will go on until we learn whatever we need to learn out of it.
Yeah.
But I think the Persian poet Rumi said, Let the water settle. You will see the stars and the moon mirrored in your being. Because we come from stuff. We're all made of stuff. Fundamentally, come down to your energy and matter. Water, air, all of that. We're a composition of those various things. And so that's why we all need to keep balance of water in our body, balance of various energy systems in the body. So once you understand yourself, you can know, oh, I'm feeling tired because, I didn't drink enough water, or because X, Y, and Z. So first thing, and Napoleon Hill is very clear about that. This whole book is filled with a lot of mystical things. He's very clear about that. For you to have your desire, you have to have that mental mindset. Your body has to be conditioned. It doesn't mean that you don't get sick or whatever, but you have to, that conditioning is recognizing that fundamentally you're whole. We are all fundamentally at core healthy, even when we're sick. You can find some people who are very sick and they're the most joyful people in the world. And you have people who don't have any impediments and they're the most miserable people in the world. So at core, we are fundamentally healthy. We sometimes forget that. We have ignorance, we have misperception, we have anger, we have all kinds of disappointment. But if we remember fundamentally, and that's what you do when you take a pause, you're checking with that self, right? Could be the big self or the little self. Hold, and then you come again. And in Jamaica, we say wheel and come again,
Man, I love this conversation, and if you are listening or watching us, we're talking with Dr. Mariana Williams. She is absolutely amazing. She is she's an economist by training, but oh my gosh, she has studied yoga, meditation, all over the world. She's literally calling in. We're delivering against our promise to be the International Masterminders Association because she's actually coming to us from Geneva, Switzerland, currently. I want to bring in Dr. Peter James because, number one, we've got a couple of comments already coming in on both systems. I want you to bring those in. And then I know you and I are big fans of the psychology of Kobe Bryant. And, Dr. Mariana is talking about practice. And one of the things that Kobe used to say is, everyone gets amazed when I make these crazy shots. They don't realize I've made these shots 1,000 times in practice. So just doing it one more time in the game, that's nothing. So I'd love to have you comment on that as well as some of the comments coming in on the chat.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief there, Galen, because I know we've got some folks in the chat. We've got some famous last names, so we want to make sure that we get to them for sure. Relative to your question, it ties right back to the persistence chapter, the persistence that Dr. Mariana has been chatting about. Even the persistence in the practice of responding versus reacting. Practicing that overall. And I have to admit, Dr. Mariana, in the past few years of my life, I think I've really begun to be intentional about taking a step back in my own life, meditating, taking time to sit in the quiet, in the still moments of the mornings of my life as opposed, because it's very easy for me to get busy. Busy for busy's sake to a certain extent. So talk to us a little bit about that, if you don't mind. The persistence of resting in yourself, the persistence of this meditation, and then maybe even piggyback it on a little bit, the mastermind and what that has been meaning to your life as well, if you don't mind.
So I think this notion of meditation has been quite mystified. So people think that you have to sit, and go home and go off in a cave or something. And I think the research, and most of what I do is evidence-based research and evidence-based intervention, showing that meditation can be many things. You can do walking meditation. And I actually would challenge you all to try walking meditation. I did that for about 2 hours at Thich Nhat Hanh many years ago. They had a place up in California called Plum Village. And you literally have to put one foot in front of the other foot, in front of the other foot. And there is nothing that brings you more clarity than that. But even for 10 minutes, walk around your room. And that slows the mind down, the breath down, the body down. And when there is not all this stirring going on, what do you do? You're touching your spirit and the source of where the thoughts come from and the source of creativity, right? Because when we think, right, so a thought has two characteristics. It has meaning and it has vibration, right? And the meaning is what keeps us trapped. So we start with one thing, and before we know it, we're thinking about what happened 10 years ago, what happened tomorrow, and so we're always in the past or in the present or in the future. We need to be in the present, because it's in the present that you step into that well, that reservoir of creativity. But to experience that, you have to find ways to still the mind. And actually, the mind, what the research is showing, that the mind actually enjoys stillness. Right? It's used to habitually us, but once you sit and you start, the mind immediately starts going. So it dives in, and it comes up. When you first start sitting meditation, you'll find that sometimes you will have a lot of thought because your nervous system is getting quiet. If you're using a mantra or the breath, it's like going in, digging up, and then you have the period of quiet, and then you're back again, and you go into what we call the gap. You can do that. Swimmers get it. Runners get it. Okay, you can do that with praying, right? But praying, you're not asking and you're not demanding. You're just centering yourself and communicating with the Spirit, with God, right? And then there's the praying where you want to ask and you want to demand. Why are you doing this? What's going on? But most, if you're fundamental, you start your praying just by centering yourself, sensing your body, sensing your connection to everything that there is. You know, Jesus said he was the first meditator. Be still and know that I am God, right? So all of this stuff is rooted back in all of the traditions. So we know, and I practice yoga. When do you practice yoga? It's Indian. I said, no, it's the natural human reservoir of all of the things. It's been codified there. I'm going to avoid going to the doctor because medicine is Western. Who said medicine is Western? It comes out of Egypt. It comes out of the Greek. It comes out of everywhere. So we also have to demystify ourselves of these things. What we say is Christian or not Christian. What we say is this or not this. These are tools. And they're tools. They're technology. The same way you use your Apple, you use your iPhone. They're technology for stimulating emotion alchemy, for accelerating your growth and development, for letting you be in touch with you so that you can be clear about where you want to go and how you're getting there. And when you get off track, because we will get off track, the economy will put you off track, the COVID virus will put you off track, your aunt will put you off track, your own self, because we're always the ego, that ego in us as the spirit are always sometimes in dialogue, right? Our cross purpose. Because as I explained last time, we do have different parts of our body. Our central nervous system is guiding us, right? And we have the back part of this brain here, which is the reptilian brain. And it has one function, which is our survival. And so its job is always to protect you. And sometimes it's protecting you from things that may be good for you because it's going by your past. It's going by even deep past that you are not conscious about. It's saying, last time we went down that way, something happened. I'm not letting you go down that way. And it'll tell you all kinds of stories, and the thing you got up saying you're going to do, you'll find that you're not doing it. And you have to be very conscious about it. Now, prefrontal cortex is a newer part of our brain. And that's where, as I said before, is where we're thinking about being happy, well-being, humility, and all those kinds of things. Your reptilian brain doesn't care about that. It wants you to survive. It has one program, your survival. And so your respiratory system is divided into two parts fundamentally. The sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight. So danger, it says danger, it immediately starts arousal, heart starts beating, everything starts beating, and it will say fight or flight. Or if there's no possibility for fight or flight, you go into paralysis and you faint, right? And then there's the parasympathetic nervous system. That's your rest and digest. That's where you want to be most of your time. So you've got to know when you are being aroused. You take a deep breath, you clap, you do whatever you need to do, and you start shift back towards that parasympathetic, what we call vagal tone. And it was a mystery a lot about how the mind and the body works, but the science is now showing the connection. They've found the connection. It's called the vagal nerve. We have this vagus nerve, which is called the wanderer, because it wanders over the body, all over the body. It goes from your ears, down into your heart, down into your diaphragm, all the way down into the hip creases. And so we talk about different vagal tones, right? So you might find, am I feeling aroused in my, where is my arousal point? Where is my sympathetic nervous system getting aroused? Why am I not doing what I said I would do? And then you'll find out it's something conscious or unconscious. If it's not unconscious, you know, you start, you journal. There are all these different techniques to find out what is going on. Because sometimes it's not something present right now. It's something from the past. It's some trauma. So you don't always, that's what we say, fundamentally all the time, you do loving kindness to yourself, right? Because you could be upset, but you say, thank you. I know you're trying to protect me, but I can do this. I got this. I know you're trying to protect me. So when you get up in the morning, you start by thanking your eyes. You thank you, say peace, love, and health to you eyes. Peace, love, and health to you. You know, all these things. And the body gets to hear. And so now the research is showing that the brain sometimes forgets things. It has amnesia also, the nervous system. It forgets to turn off some muscles. And those muscles are constantly on, they're tense. And we don't know that until we end up with some disease. And so that's why you check your body every day. You stretch, you do various kinds of things. You're checking, okay, what's going on with my arms? What's going on? Because there's all this stuff that's going on. We're amazingly made, and we're also, as we are defective, sometimes we have amnesia. So does the body. The brain has amnesia sometimes, right? They say cancer are rogue cells that have forgotten their purpose.
Wow.
Right? And they then start amassing, and they've forgotten what they're supposed to do. And then they destroy the whole body, the whole, you know. So there's all these things that we need to understand about who we are. But if you have a good understanding about who you are, you'll sense when this is coming. And then you begin to take some of these strategic interventions and tools that are available to us.
Well, right? This is, boy, this is, I didn't think it was possible to surpass our previous conversation. but we're doing it. But Dr. Peter, I want you to bring in some of the comments because there are a lot of great questions that those who have registered, and we would encourage you to register every week so that you can be part of this conversation. And we've got a number of people that have already asked questions. I want to make sure that Dr. Mariama has got an opportunity to respond to some of them.
Yeah, Gail, some great stuff. Just folks loving this conversation. Cindy's saying our bodies and our systems are miraculous. And just from how this phenomenal conversation is reflecting and resonating amongst us. However, I got this gentleman by the name of Regis Bingham. Galen, I'm not sure if you have heard of this gentleman at all. However, he says, people are different every day, Dr. Mariami. He said, you stated that we should respond differently every day. However, one of our defense mechanisms is our memory and learning from the past. How do you reconcile the past with being different today?
Okay. So we do have our past, right? And we do have DNA. And as I said last time, that the body remembers everything, right? I forgot to look up this book called The Body Keeps the Score. But there's also another book about intergenerational trauma by an African-American gentleman. I've forgotten his name at the moment, but I'll try to put it in the chat later. Okay, so we have that history. We have that environmental history, we have that intergenerational history, and we have our own personal history, right, since we were a child growing up. And your body changes, right, but when you wake up, you still see yourself, right? You still see yourself, right, because you don't know what's going on inside. Sometimes some people are able to feel, right, and others of us are not, because we have that density of the materiality of life, right? But everything is energy and information. And so if you change the energy and you change the information, then you're able to shift and adapt. And the energy and the information comes from really that practice of understanding yourself. So you're not going to 360, you're not going to change 360 from one day to another. You're just going to have more insight into yourself and your behavior and insight into recognizing, why am I reacting? So my first thought whenever I'm reacting to somebody is I always ask myself, what am I needing? Because often it's not about the person. It's something in you that is reflecting back at you, right? Either it's a behavior in you that we call the shadow that we don't want to recognize, and so you dislike the person. That person's behaving very badly. And then I'll go home and I'll ask somebody, you know what? Do I do this? And they'll just look at me. And if they don't want to answer, they'll be very quiet. And I know, yeah, okay, so I have that behavior too, right? So sometimes we don't see stuff. That's when we have good friends and mastermind. We can ask them, hey, do I behave this way, right? And then you'll see that you're reacting to someone. It's not because of necessarily what they're doing. It's because something in you is being reflected at you, and you don't want to see that, right? So you have to work with those kinds of things. And as the more you understand yourself, right? So the Buddhists and others say that a big part of suffering is ignorance and misperception, that we have forgotten who we are, and we get lost in fears and anxieties. And the minute that you start coming back into yourself, you'll find that those lessen and lessen and lessen, right? But I also happen to think that we also have destinies that we need to fill and dramas that we need to play out. And sometimes there's no way out of that. You just have to go through it because we didn't come with a promise that we're going to live perfect life. We're all going to have to suffer and grow because that's part of the growth. And so that you don't get into melancholy about it, you don't get into blaming and fighting. You just say, oh, okay, so I did this and this was the result. Why did that result occur? And then you could you look at yourself, you take the part of it and you say, okay, there must be something that I'm not understanding. So you ask for understanding, you go to sleep, you ask your dreams. Your dreams will reveal something. I saw something about a dream in one of the, your dream will reveal something. You ask yourself, you ask the spirit. You're confused about a direction. You don't beat up yourself, you're kind to yourself, you're loving kind to yourself. I don't understand why, but I know there must be something you're trying to protect me from or something that's better for me out there. And you ask the spirit, you ask, and people, one of the fundamental places you ask is your heart. We think the heart is mushy, right? But the heart is intelligent, okay? It is almost like the second brain. We have now three brains they're finding, right? So we have the brain, and we have the gut brain, and now people are beginning to realize that the heart has a powerful intelligence. And it's connected to all of everything, all of the universe, right? So just think about it. Right now, radios are playing all over the world, right? And if you have the right instrument and you tune it, you will hear an orchestra playing somewhere. Someone will tell you, oh, you're crazy. But if you tune the dial, you'll hear an announcer speaking somewhere. So that's the way the world is. There's all this stuff going on. And when we lock ourselves into a mindset that doesn't allow us to be adaptable and to think transformatively, we only suffer more and more, right? And we don't grow. We get stifled.
Oh, my. I could spend another 3 hours in this conversation alone. This has been so rich. I hope those of you that are listening, that are watching, I hope you have been taking notes. As a matter of fact, you should just replay and replay with a notepad, because there have been just so many jewels left here for you to admire, for you to consume, for you to capture for your own. I just don't know how you can get this just from passively listening once. I want to go around as we prepare to leave. I want to go around to each of my co-hosts and just ask for what are some key takeaways that you've got from this conversation, and how can people get a hold of you or maybe a project that you may be working on? And Ursula, as before, I'll start with you. What do you get from this conversation? What's some of the things that are resonating with you?
Well, and she was just concluding her last comment, you know, my whole being came into front and center, because understanding who you are or who you were, which positions you to understand where you're going, is what I do. Because I love listening to the story that a person has about what they did, why did they do that, what was that little girl like, and is she still here? So once you know what your body is protecting you from, then you can be released to do what you want to do because you understand it. And one of the things that my grandmother used to say is you'll understand it better by and by. And we're understanding it by and by on a day-to-day based on this kind of conversation. And I'm loving what was discussed this morning. And as for my projects, I have a YouTube channel that I've just launched that I would love some support on, and hopefully when you go there, you'll find something that you enjoy, and that is Wisdom and Young Legends, where I have a conversation with young people and older people, and we talk about the things that you know and you've gotten from your elders, combined with the things that you are right now, and then your goals. So the old adage of the young man has the strength, but the old man knows the way is the essence of the whole conversation. Bringing old and new together to talk about what is and what can be. And that is YouTube, Sula2. If you put in S-U-L-A space T-O-O, you'll see the playlist that I have, and there are several of them. Wisdom and Young Legend is one. Legendary Stories is another, where we have videos of people that are absolute legends. Authors that I have either published or that I represent. And, some things that I've done along the way. Join me. Go to the YouTube channel and see what's out there and enjoy it. And then you can be a part, because I would love to interview you.
Well, great. I would encourage everyone to do that. I mean, the thing about YouTube that I love is you get so much information from so many different experts and leading thought leaders, and it's free, right? I mean, I don't know how to make it any better than free. So I want to encourage everyone, either that's listening to this live or on replay, to go to YouTube and look for Sula2 and subscribe. Don't just watch a video, subscribe. So Dr. Peter James, what did you take from this conversation? What are some projects that you're working on, or how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, too much, Galen. Too much stuff going on in my head right now. Dr. Mariam, I can't thank you enough for making a return visit to us this morning. Something you mentioned even towards the end is about this mindset that we need to have in order to get to where we desire to get to. And it definitely requires a shift. In order to accomplish your dreams and your visions, you have to make a shift in your mindset. You can't necessarily stay where you are, think how you are. You need to think a little bit differently in order to get to where you desire to get to. And Dr. Mariam introduced so much gems, so many pearls today that even has allowed me to realize that I need to make another shift as well in order to center myself, in order to think and grow rich, right? So again, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. Ironically, you can also catch me at shiftyourmindset.com. Mm-hmm. I also have a product that's coming up. It is the 5-day challenge. It is located at a business I just launched called getahallpass.com. It is a 5-day challenge. It is free, as Galen had mentioned. Free is such a great word. Check us out at getahallpass.com. It is a 5-day challenge that challenges you for 5 straight days with insightful questions. And at the end, an opportunity to come together and maybe even provide some learnings as a result of a reflection on these questions. That is getahallpass.com. I'll make sure I include it on the link. Galen, right back to you.
All right. Well, this has been the brainchild. This is the manifestation of the brainchild of the master builder. So, Ms. Ann McNeil, what did you take away from this conversation with your fellow mastermind member?
So I want to go back to the challenge. Thank you so very much for setting me up, Peter, with a challenge, because last week I challenged my mastermind buddy from Palm Beach Life Planners, Dr. Williams. And, of course, I can get into all of my 4 pages I have here, but you already heard that. What you'd like to hear, though, is that, like a true masterminder, she took the challenge, she came through, and I'll speak on her behalf so she can she can get after me later like she always does. But you know what? Let me say this about mastermind. We're talking, we're wrapping up persistence and mastermind principles. And Peter talked about the mastermind mindset reset. We're talking about success consciousness in our thinking as masterminders. And if you're masterminding with someone that's
not pulling you up and challenging you, remember this. Only iron can sharpen iron. Iron cannot sharpen paper. And so there's nothing wrong with you being in multiple mastermind groups for multiple reasons. You know, a mastermind accountability and a mastermind alliance and a mastermind group benefit would give you advanced education you may not have. It would give you access to specialized knowledge you may not have. It would give you access to resources that you may be clueless of. And so we are this superior mastermind to do every Saturday. And like Peter said, it's free. So when you think about accountability, you come here, but if you decide that you're interested in forming a mastermind group of your own, then yes, you can go to my website at andymcneil.com and you can get one of those books. And I want to come back to Dr. Mariana Williams. We challenged her last week. Well, okay, I challenged her. Okay, all right. To create an online membership, and one of the people's points, she created a challenge. And if you're interested in being a part of her continued conversation, she's forming first a free group that she's going to do a challenge in on Facebook. And then from that, she's going to be creating an online membership group. And I want to give kudos, and I just did a tag in the Facebook to Gina Carr, because I like to give credit where credit is due. Gina Carr has helped us to understand how do you create an easy online membership. And if you're interested, if you're listening, please, I'd like for all of you just to say, tag Gina Carr, say thank you, Gina Carr, thank you, because we don't realize oftentimes, and hers is a mastermind group also, but oftentimes we don't realize that whatever we're seeking in terms of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it is seeking us, but you must take action. So we're going to place the Facebook group information, and Laverne, if you can help me out with this, and thank you also, Doreen, for your help. But we're going to place the Facebook group link in the chat, inside of Zoom, and also inside of Facebook. And if you're interested in connecting with Dr. Williams in her free group, you just, you know, register to join. And after you register, you will receive, give her 24 hours, okay, 48 hours, you will receive the instructions of what you will do next. Now, for all of you that are listening, and if you know me, you know I am making this up as I go. Okay, that's how we do this. It's called mastermind on the fly. And the point is this. When you have a desire, you make it up as you go. Because the further you walk toward it and the closer you get, it is coming toward you. And so, Mariana, with the challenge, we've been saying this, Mariana, for 10 years maybe. Okay? But I chose to publicly challenge her. And like the true star that she is, she rose to the challenge. But as we can all see, she is so full, like Peter said, of gems and jewels and pearls of knowledge that everybody really should want to connect with her in that free group. And if you like what you're hearing, you can connect with her and sign up for her easy online membership. So that's it for me. I don't have to do a lot of stuff promotion. If you want to connect with me, you can reach me at andymcneil.com, and then 2 L's. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Ms. Ann, you've never given me 48 hours to do anything. It's always, you need to have this thing done by the end of the day. If it's important, you need to get it done. 48 hours? Oh, hold up. So this has been an amazing, amazing show. And again, there's a couple of things that has happened for me personally. After our last show, I started really thinking about ancestry and how the body and the DNA remembers and that kind of thing. And I was reminded of a homework assignment that my daughter was given when she was in the fourth grade. She's a senior in high school now, so this was years ago. So in the fourth grade, she was asked to create a fictitious story about what she thinks her ancestry might have been about. And they said that you could reach out to family members to help you with this. And instead of reaching out to any family members, we actually reached out to our family historian, who's a genealogist and a PhD university professor. And he sent to my daughter our entire family tree, dating back from the first African who touched foot onto North American soil, and had his name changed on the slave ship from Indalele to Bingham, to John Bingham. And I had seen that information before. I'd seen the tree, and I had this just kind of tucked away. But based upon the conversation last week, I decided to just pull it out and really kind of look through it and get a deeper understanding. And unbeknownst to me, there were articles, there were entire messages, their entire stories tucked in that same envelope that I've had for over 10 years. And in that envelope was a story of his grandson, Gabriel, who organized, at the age of 24, he organized the largest slave revolt in American history. And he had thousands of slaves coordinated over four states. And their plan was to not only revolt, but they were going to kidnap and hold for ransom then-Governor James Monroe, who ultimately became President Monroe. And this was all coordinated. Don't know how they coordinated because there was no internet back then, but 1,000 slaves converged on Richmond, Virginia. And they were ready to execute this plan. And wouldn't you know that at that moment, there was a freak rainstorm that washed out all the bridges, washed out all the roads, washed out all the fields, and so they couldn't execute their plan. So they had to turn away. And they turned away, they were going to do this another day, but during that time, a couple of the slaves got nervous about the idea of their slaveholders being killed, and so they told the story. Once they told the story, James Monroe found out about it. He called Thomas Jefferson. They then assembled the militia, rounded up all of the mastermind members that developed this plan, and they executed all of them. But all the historians say that if that plan had been executed, slavery would have ended in the year 1800. Now, the thing that really blew my mind is that tomorrow is the 220th anniversary of when that plan was scheduled. And had we not had that conversation last week, I would not have read that information. So I am so indebted not only to you, Dr. Mariana, but to my ancestors. So when I pray to my ancestors for strength, for wisdom, mm-hmm. I'm praying to the dude who almost ended slavery in the year 1800, who's part of my bloodline. So I want to thank you for that, and I want to say to the audience, this stuff is real. This stuff is real. This is just not something that we're talking about every week. This stuff is real, and it's powerful, but it's only powerful if you put it to use. It does no good if you read the book once and put it back on your shelf. It really, there's nothing magical and mystical about the book. You've got to use it. You can get a hold of me. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm a leadership strategist. You can get a hold of me at www.galenbingham.com. I've got a coaching business as well called Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. And on Monday, I'm going to be part of a global emotional intelligence summit, which I encourage everyone to get involved with. We're going to post a link there in the system. For $59, you're going to hear from from me, but you're going to hear from 11 other experts from literally all over the world. We've got people that will be contributing from Paris, France. We've got people that will be contributing from Venezuela, from just literally all over the world. And for $59, you can hear from all of these leading experts around the health benefits of emotional intelligence and how you can leverage that. And so with that, I just want to thank everyone and give Dr. Mariana just the final word, the final thoughts. What's one thing that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Well, I want to go back to this chapter and leave you with four words that really jump out at me, which I've been meditating on since early morning, and in this chapter, persistence. attune the mind and develop your thought vibration. And that's the way to attract the object of your desire. Attune the mind. So what does that mean? It means focus your attention on one point of intention. It means get away, get rid of all of the chaos and the white noise that runs around in our minds. Focus that every day, and you attune it. You latch like a laser on your intention. And that develops a thought vibration that reaches out. Once your intention is clear, the universe set in motion whatever you need to accomplish that. It's when your thought is not clear that the universe doesn't know what the heck you want. Right? So it's not going to do anything. It's waiting for you to give it a signal. And so that attune the mind and get that thought vibration in motion to attract the object of your desire is a fundamental thing, which goes back again to, again, understanding who you are, understanding how you're breathing, what makes you erratic, how to optimize your breathing so that your mind can settle down, so that even in a storm, you are calm, right? And that you can focus on where you need to go, and you can take care of all that's going on around you, and you go right back and focus. And I think that, for me, that is the fundamental thing about these chapters on the mastermind. But it pervades the whole chapter. In every chapter, all the chapters are linked. All the ideas are linked. But fundamentally, again, that wealth consciousness, wealth means multidimensional. It's health. It's spiritual. It's work. It's job. It's money. It's friends. It's everything. So wealth consciousness is not necessarily just about dollar. Right? The dollar sign or a dollar bill or a yen or whatever. It's all of the things that we need to help us move to health and well-being. Right? So that we can do what we need to do in this world to make the world a better place for everyone.
Fantastic. We are all in it together. Thank you so much for being our guest for a second time. And Ms. Ann?
Yeah, I just wanted to just mention, and I apologize for forgetting, we do host a free Friday call as a part of this process. And you can go to Eventbrite and just type in Think and Grow Rich Friday accountability call. Because, Gayla, we have lots of people who are listening to us. You didn't get a chance to get everybody's questions or comments today. But we would love for you to like this show, share it, comment, and share it with your friends and invite your friends to join you and to join us every Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. You can go to Eventbrite and get that link, or we'll put it in the chat. But also join us every Saturday and share this show with your friends. Thank you.
Yeah, this is as good as we can do for free. I mean, it's like you're getting formula for living a successful life on purpose, and this doesn't cost you anything but your time. So I would encourage you to take advantage of it. This has been Gayla Bingham, leadership strategist, working with the International Mastermind, and I encourage you to think and grow rich.
And grow rich.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
The recording has stopped.